Cleese, the tailback, play fake to him, pump fake, now lobbing it deep, Phillips open, makes the catch at the 15-10, and he will skip in to the near corner of the end zone, touchdown, Virginia Tech Hokies, momentum back on this side.
Wes McElroy, Fox Sports 910 and the iHeartRadio app, each and every Wednesday at this time, joined by that voice right there, the voice of the Virginia Tech Hokies. John Laser, brought to you by Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys on staff, and there for you in any case. How does Pipes, buddy? You had enough calls on Sunday night?
Yeah, Pipes are feeling good. The rest of the body, not so much, man. Bud Foster, I think, said it best yesterday. He's like, man, there's a lot of droopy eyes in here. Feels like the middle of the season, and for whatever reason it does. I think both programs and everybody around that game put a lot of energy, more so than you would, into the season opener in most years. So, yeah, everyone's trying to bounce back, but I'm sure they'll be there.
It game was amazing. It was exhausting, it was exhilarating, and it was crazy when it was done. My reaction was, man, it's only week one. And then my reaction on a much more mellow, conservative note was, it's only week one, and I saw that from Josh Jackson. I'm not going to go overboard. I'm not going to blow expectations out of the water, but I was impressed with the capital I, Lays.
Yeah, for sure. And I think we saw what Justin Fuente was talking about and has been for the last couple of months, is it's not always the guy with the greatest physical tools. It's not that Josh doesn't have physical tools, don't get me wrong, but he's not the guy that pops your eyes when you're watching practice. But he does have a knowledge of defensive schemes and how to shift his offense into the correct places that's well above his level, not only as a redshirt freshman, but just as an average football player. And I think we saw that on full display. You can't teach that calmness and that poise that he had during the first half, particularly when it wasn't going streamlined fashion down the field. And then I thought his physical attributes did start to show in the second half. And definitely I was impressed with the way that he threw the football on time. He missed a couple throws in the first half, for sure, but in the second half, he threw the ball much better on the move. I thought he seemed comfortable in the pocket. He climbed the pocket a few times, and you could really start to see him grow from drive to drive and even beyond that from play to play. So it was definitely a starting point. I'm with you, man. I'm not going to go overboard. I certainly want to see some things out of some other people over the next couple of weeks, namely the receiving core, but a great start.
I felt in the fourth quarter, looking back on that game, I kind of felt like in four quarters of Josh Jackson, it's what I want to see over the next 3 weeks. And it's crazy, and there's going to be a lot of growing pains, and I'm really interested to see what he can do, as you mentioned, with different people against Delaware and Old Dominion, East Carolina. But you know, those 4 quarters, you're seeing a guy who struggled, had good signs, showed maturity, and then a guy who took control of the offense, and you got it in 4 quarters, not 4 weeks.
Yeah, for sure. You know, in that game, you saw what West Virginia's offense is going to be, right? That quick hit ability, that big play ability. When they were in trouble or felt as though Tech had momentum, they would go up top and take a shot. And Will Greer's going to be a dynamite quarterback. And you saw the big arm and what that can do for you. And then every time that happened, it's like, okay, we're kind of the tortoise and the hare, and we're the tortoise in this race right now. And the hare just caught up. Oh no. And then Josh Jackson would do something else to put you back in front. You know, it was one play off the James Clark kickoff return and that touchdown pass, that highlight that you just called to Cam Phillips, and all of a sudden now you're the tortoise, and it was you're the hare, excuse me, and it was just a really odd feeling because you just felt like there were going to be these limitations because of everything that we had led ourselves to believe and everything that we were talking about. And I think that's kind of what Josh Jackson is. He's the guy that goes out and doesn't necessarily look one way but performs another, and it was phenomenal to watch, certainly. And you're right, that's what we saw in a couple of those drives in the second half was what I was hoping he would be by the time Clemson comes into town, and now you've obviously got a lot more time to work towards that.
There are other guys that have to step up on this offense, and we did not exactly see them Sunday, but I don't want to gloss over this because Cam Phillips showed that he could be a number one last year in the Belk Bowl. To see what he did on Sunday night, to see, there's two things that impressed me. One, the way Brad Cornelison and Justin Fuente got him free at times, and the other thing was making those big plays, those things that we wondered about with skill position players, the things that Isaiah Ford did for Gerard Evans last year. You saw Cam do that on Sunday night for his new quarterback.
You did, and you saw him do it in a situation where I don't think Isaiah was ever in that predicament where at the outset you knew the entire defense, particularly in the second two levels, was schemed against Cam Phillips, and he still found a way to be open and to be wide open in a number of cases and to find areas where Josh Jackson could make confidence-building throws. And when I say Isaiah was never in that situation, it's because he always had Cam and he always had Bucky and he always had some of the other folks that were around him. And there were some games that we saw Isaiah Ford pretty much get eliminated from the mix, and those were the games where Bucky and Cam would go off, and he was obviously playing that decoy role. Well, right now you don't have that luxury if you're Cam Phillips, and at least for a one-game sample size, he proved equal to that task.
I wonder here, and you've alluded to this, you've talked about this, more so the running backs, but there's going to be no bell cow. I do wonder if this offense is going to be Cam Phillips and then different guys every single week. Is it too early to have that indication?
No, I think you're right, particularly in the running game. I don't think you saw anything from any of those three running backs that would indicate they're not going to be a part of the plan moving forward. There was a scary moment with Stephen Peoples there with the low shot on the knee. But I saw him yesterday, and he was walking around fine, and I said, "My Peoples!" And he gave a big smile. And, hey. So he's fine. I think he's good to go for Delaware. Loved what I saw from Deshaun McLeese. I was so happy for him. He's had such a frustrating 2 years, and he's such a magnetic kid. And that run that he had, the 11-yard touchdown run, or 12-yard touchdown run, excuse me, was, I thought, the most impressive physical play of the game, save for Cam Phillips' leaping catch at the one-yard line. So I think you feel really good about what you have there, and I think over the next couple of weeks, if all things go well, you may be able to get some run for Jalen Holston. I think what we did see, though, Wes, is Dalton Keene's going to be a big part of it. I know he didn't catch any passes, and he wasn't a huge part of the game plan from a receiving standpoint, but his protection was outstanding, particularly in his first college game. And you could see, like Josh Jackson, Sean Savoy getting better and better and better as the game went along and getting more confident. So I think we did establish that Sean Savoy is probably going to be that third or fourth option in the passing game.
He's John Lazor, the voice of the Hokies. We'll transition to the Delaware game and what Lays is looking out for. But how about defense? I look at this. It's the beginning of the season. Yes, there was over 500 yards of offense. Yes, that defense was on the field way too much in the first half. Yes, there's absolutely things to work on. But I want to give credit to West Virginia. I'm also going to give credit. It's a Big 12 offense. That's kind of what they do.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and it's not to say there weren't some deficiencies that were highlighted in that Tech defense, and they're not in midseason form, and I thought that was pretty evident. But you're right, Will Grier is a big-time quarterback. I think West Virginia's offense is in good shape. I think they identified a big playmaker in Gary Jennings Jr. because that was a question that they had coming into the season, is who's going to step up along with Caron White. Well, clearly that was Gary Jennings and also David Sills. That's a tough offense to defend, particularly when you don't have a ton of depth on the defensive line, which the Hokies at this point, and that's the troubling thing coming out of the game, is that was identified as something that they don't at the moment have. And when the offense runs 88 plays and you have your starters in for the percentage that you did, which was about 80%, they're going to be gassed, and they were by the end of the game. Now, it's a testament to the defense that they gutted it out and made big plays in that final series when they needed to. But at the same time, you need to find more help in the middle on that defensive line, because when those guys were in the football game, it was basically just pick them apart for Will Grier, because he had all day back in the pocket. So Bud Foster's the best in the business at doing that. It might not be identifying bodies, so to speak, but it might be identifying some of the things he does in terms of the help he brings when those guys are in the game. But look for that to be a focal point for this Tech defense going forward. But other than that, not concerned about the second two levels of the defense. Those are some of the throws that you're going to give up. I think you saw some mismatches where you had linebackers. Tremaine Edmonds on one play was running about 40 yards down the field trying to cover Gary Jennings. That's not a matchup that you want. But those are the things that Jake Spavital and Dana Holgorsen do to you. And they certainly are a very sound football program. And I think they're going to have a big year too.
Well, we'll look ahead at what could be next and what the Hokies could accomplish in the next couple weeks, along with the W. We'll do that next. John Lazor, voice of the Hokies, brought to you by Cowan Gates. We'll also get in a lightning round. Wes McElroy, John Lazor on Fox Sports 910.